Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yeah, fuck, keep the ball on the ground. Pop Slaney, what's happening?
What's happening,
Slaney? Slaney shooting his nut for the hydro.
I'm better looking than Slaney.
No doubt. How are you doing, Chipper? All right?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Great to have him on, huh?
Super.
You've been an open-goal legend for years.
I know.
I so have heard. I heard through the grapevine, by the way.
I'll see you in a...
Smacked him now.
Somebody was like, ask Chipper if you'll come out. I was like, oh, what kind of reaction am I going to get in that window? But I'll tell you what's also a regular on the show. That's staying on your jumper.
I know what's happening, big man. No. Right hand side.
Yeah.
That's
Kim's thing in the nipple, innit?
Well, I'm saying beans.
No, I was saying a wee cut.
Gravy, innit?
We cut a tea, innit? We cut a tea.
You got a change?
Is that Steve Bruce's office at the weekend?
Fucking boys, he's known me now. How long? Yeah, I give a fuck about a stain on my jumper.
Right, we've seen the stain on the jumper. Let's see the stain on the box.
I don't know, they're bigger. Right, we were fresh this morning. Big stain.
By the way, it's freezing in here.
Baltic.
This is quite hot for a hot burn guy.
A Whitburn? Oh, is that what your favourite Whitburn?
Aye, Whitburn, aye.
Rough there, mate, nah?
Rough?
Whitburn,
no,
is
no, no, no.
Whitburn's all right, aye.
Whitburn's okay.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, is Whitburn where Capaldi, you know, that's fair,
yes.
Oh, you would know. I'll say, hang about outside the Sousa on the weekend.
You go to Capaldi, you go to Snatch. I went to school with Susan Boyle.
Did you?
Just the Blackman.
Be honest, have you ever got off with Susan Boyle?
Just the once.
She a shy kisser?
We didn't kiss. We just dated.
Right, so you're Susan Boyle now. We've got another date for you after us. Same Susan. Susan Slane.
Oh.
Slaney's mum.
Slaney's mum.
That's a real deal.
Ah, is it a real deal,
oh,
is it?
She is.
She's the real Susan, isn't she?
Yeah, she's
not.
Hi,
Susan.
Either. Is she?
No, no.
It must be a Susan thing.
Right.
Beefing Sena.
She's no shy.
Right, Grosvenor Sport. Who wants to do their...
It's your turn, isn't it, Kev?
Oh, is it? Okay. Right, bet £10, get £30 free bet for new sign-ups, but Grosvenor Sport are also giving away 2 hydro tickets every keeping the ball on the ground and writing the coupon, showing the run-up to the 16th of December.
Love
all
that,
you
Kev.
Need to do to enter the draw each week is to sign up to Grosvenor Sport at gsport.com/open goal.
And you want...
over 18s only.
Over 18s only, Andy, aye.
Aye.
16th, mate, we'll get
listen,
your ticket.
Listen, my please. Daughter got me tickets
last, did you?
Last Christmas for your show and it obviously got cancelled.
Oh,
so
kidding.
When you've done this show, I was away someplace.
You want to come? We'll get your tickets.
Aye.
Somebody sent us through caps to.
No way.
For the last
how cool is this, man?
Some sexy bastard on them. There you go, Slaney boy.
So we've been capped. We've been capped at the hydro. We've
been capped at the hydro, lads. Brilliant.
So the fucking cap me and you'll get one.
Can you please put that on right now? Can't look at that, man.
Yeah. Wait, here. You put yours on or no? There's a fever.
Oh, look at that, Kevin.
Just add that.
So
to
was it me cranky?
Yeah,
well done, boys, you're getting your first cap. I'll add that to our 10.
Hey, love it, Kevin.
That's not right, is it?
No. Aye, that's right.
Is it?
Aye.
But is it supposed to flick him?
You're just needing that wee helicopter bit at the top.
He's a looking apart. But when Slaney was in London for the weekend, so his flight got delayed back this morning.
Hey, look at that flame.
Where have you heard?
You know.
By the way, he's going to come to us, so when he cut, it's him that was giving you a bit. You know that?
You know, the people always tell you, it's him that's giving you a bit. It was really the person that's told you that.
Aye.
I know who's been giving me it. I've been saving all this up.
Are you going to come for him when he comes in?
Aye.
Rest him, please. You'll shit yourself. Put
I
it
will
on,
shit
right.
yourself.
Put it on him.
You will shit yourself.
Right, I will do. Right. I will do.
How's life been since you left Aki's last season?
It was a season.
Nah, it was this season. Fucking tune on you.
13th August this season. Sacked.
That sums up this season.
This season, I can remember. Life's been good. Took a wee break. Went on holiday for a week with seven of my mates and stayed for 3 weeks. It was that good.
Where was it, Lanzarote?
Lanzarote, aye. Oof. I went there and it was good. Weather was great.
Trunks, are you trunks, man? Are you trunks?
Aye.
T-shirt in the pool, innit?
T-shirt in the pool.
I've got the body for all that, yeah. Aye. White and a ghost.
And then who were you? McClark came, Martin Clark?
Aye, Martin came.
What a guy.
With Fiona. He was there for a week, so he had to put up with me for a week. It was brilliant. Done that, got refreshed. But then I went to work on the radio. Going to see games every night as normal, and that's it. Just keeping football on the head.
What? Why did you leave Achilles? Their decision, your decision, joint decision.
A bit of both. A bit of both. I just felt as though my health wasn't great. It was affecting my health a wee bit, and this season just seemed to carry on for last season with the injuries and the virus situation and all that. And I just felt as though I couldn't get out of the bit, and it was affecting my health. Wasn't sleeping. Wasn't eating. All the things that happen that people never see, and I just felt it was getting too much for me. And it was the best decision for Hamilton, not just for me, it was the best decision for Hamilton. They needed something fresh, they needed something different, and I definitely needed a wee change, I needed a break.
Does it get to you that much, Chipper, with
it? It gets to me that much, because it means everything to me. It means everything, you know. It's not just my job and my life, it's my hobby as well. It's my hobby, football is my hobby. And I could see it affecting me, and other people could see it affecting me.
Do you feel as if over the last few years, not just yourself, but previous managers before you, have always been underappreciated with the job you've done at Hamilton? Always had the lowest budget. I think people tip used to go down basically every year. And was that, it was seven years in the top flight.
Listen, you get tipped to go down every year. You know, teams with the lowest budget always get tipped to go down. It's amazing that they stayed up that long. But see, at the end of the day, when you do stay up, you get the praise for staying up. So, as management, you take the good and the bad. But I just felt as though it was time for me to move on. And it was the right decision. There's no doubt it was the right decision for both parties.
On the mental health side of things, obviously, that's showing obviously you care and you're wanting results and stuff. See, as a long-term for Hamilton, you in there and you're not getting how you want. What is the long-term for Hamilton? What is it that they set out each year?
Bring players
just to is it to bring players through?
No.
To stay in the league?
To stay in the league,
just
obviously.
To stay in the league.
Financially stay in the league and try and eventually have a go for the top six.
Should you get frustrated then that when you know that that's an impossible job, it's a lot to ask of a manager to try and, or do you get the excitement of trying?
The excitement's there of trying. The excitement there at Hamilton is developing the players. And I keep saying it's not about just developing the players. You've got to develop the coaches as well.
Yeah.
You know, and we can maybe speak about that later on, about things we spoke about. But having a pathway for kids, you know, we've all been kids playing football. You know, if somebody never gave us a chance and gave us a break, then we wouldn't have been in the position we've been in and had the careers that we had. So I'm a great believer in, Bertie Hall gave me my break. He gave me my break at Hibs as a 17-year-old. So that's always stuck in my head.
Yeah.
I've got to produce these kids, I've got to make them better, and I've got to try and give them a chance to get on in life. You know, but they've got to be good enough.
Yeah.
They've got to be good enough. They've got to want it, because I'm putting my neck on the line playing them.
Yeah.
You know, so I never, ever forget my roots in that, ever.
See, on the no sleeping bit, because I'm obsessed with, obviously, I do a wee bit of coaching, and it's mad how much it does get to you. But were you the same as assistant manager, or is it only when you really become the manager?
Worse when you're assistant. Uh-huh. It's worse because I'm waking up in the middle of the night, I've got pen and paper next to the bed, and start drawing,
what can I do with the boys?
Start drawing wee drills and all that and everything, and thinking, oh, if they play that system, what are we going to do? I mean, when I stayed with yoga, it was mental, up in Inverness. We had this converted farmhouse down by the sea, and he was downstairs and I was upstairs. And all we had in the living room was a couch, a table, a telly, and a massive tactics board.
In the living room?
Aye. So I would go upstairs and go to bed, and I'd be lying in bed, and all I hear was, Chabber, Chabber. So I run down the stairs, and he's sitting, he's got the tactics board, and he said, what would you do if I'd done that on the tactics board? And I'd look at it and I'd go, oh, I would do that. I knew you would. See you in the morning. You know, no, barks at you, and you've no answer. So I run away back up the stairs, half an hour later, Chabber, Chabber. Oh, here we go, I know what it is. I'll be back down the stairs. What if I'd done that? Oh, see, that's a problem. That's a problem for me. That's what we're going to do. Get up the stair, think about it, and we'll do it tomorrow. Get a drill for that tomorrow. Wow. So that's it.
How would you come against it?
No, could you do that?
Aye.
Do that. You don't argue with the
so what's that, like 3-4 in the morning we're talking?
Aye. Things like that. Just mad, comes to you, know.
Is it yourself though, and you just
football? I never had the balls to shout to him, Yogi, come on up the stair now.
He is obsessed, mate.
Oh, aye.
Oh, I bet. Listen, he used to say to me every day, I'm talking about every day for 10 years. Come up with something that's got to revolutionise Scottish football to put me under pressure.
Every day. That's good. Always challenging you.
We spent, me and Yogi spent 6 days a week, 12 to 14 hours a day together, because we used to go to England to games and all that. Then one day he says to me, I've got to start having a Wednesday off. I've got to start taking Bev out for something to eat. I thought he'd lost his marbles there. And I thought, nah. He did. The first Wednesday, he went out for something to eat. My phone rang. Lunchtime. Yogi. I picked up. It was Bev. She says, we're in such and such. He doesn't know what he likes in here. He told me to phone you. I says, where are you? We're such and such. We're here. I says, he likes the pasta and meatballs in there.
442.
spicy sauce. Oh,
he likes a waiter to come so, inside.
That's how much the time we spent together. I done all the driving. I ordered all the food. It's just like, honestly, Bev says, it's used to like him. They married together.
Had a decent start to them filming life,
hadn't he? He's done well, mate. Did Lappy stay with you for a bit as well?
No.
Did he move in when you left? Because I know Yogi stayed with him for a bit.
Aye, up in Inverness. You couldn't have the wee man staying with you.
How?
He's so chilled out, eh? It's manana time. Uh-huh. He tells a brilliant story. Lappy's there at the festival in Trinidad. Him, Yorkie and Brian Lara's got a ranch. So Lara says to him, see you tomorrow morning, don't make a noise. I've got a guest staying in the West Wing. So Russell's up in the morning and goes down and he opens the fridge and there's a boy standing at the sink. And Russell turns around and says, you want a coffee? And Mick Jagger turns around and says, no, I'm okay, thanks.
Mick Jagger?
Just crying on
Mick Jagger?
Aye. Oh, Russell used to always be injured or suspended March time when the festival was on. You know how weird certain players done it at Christmas time?
It's the sister's birthday.
We Latapi used to do that for the festival, but it lasted a month.
Would you ever shout at Latapi now?
No, you didn't shout at him. You just let him go on with it.
Was he a mad chain smoker? Is that right?
All the time. Yogi'd be doing a team talk, he'd be standing in the corner smoking that and go and get Latapi. I'm okay, he'd say.
Wow.
Brilliant.
Would he not warm up on that chip or not?
Oh, he warmed up, but you just gave him the ball. Players were scared to game it with boys round the boot, and he would say, just game it if they're two or three round the boot. He says, I'll handle that. Mm-hmm. He used to look for the weakest defender and go and play against him. He said, just game it now.
What, he just go and stand on your weakest player?
Aye.
He was a maverick.
That's brilliant.
That's knowledge of the game, isn't it?
Aye.
Of course it has to be.
Brilliant.
I love what he shouted to Jack Ross when he came out late for pre-season. You heard this one, Yogi tells him that. All the boys are running around the track and Russell walks out 10 minutes late and Jack Ross is like that.
Any chance?
We're all running and you're walking. He's like, you carry the piano and I'll fucking play it.
Aye. We were buckled, honestly. I see we're running around the track at Stirling and he's walking out with the flip-flops and that on the phone and the top off and it's boiling hot. The boys are all sweating and you know they're doing 440s and that. And you just carry the piano, I'll play it.
That's amazing.
See, all the top players that had the ability, they all had the fucking same off the part, didn't they? They had the one-liners, they had the fucking confidence. Why was that?
It was incredible.
They were all the same.
It's a spin-off of it, but because the players know how good he is.
Aye.
You know, and you watch him in training and then he invites Yorkie up to training with me.
Do Yorkie?
He says to Yogi, can Yorkie come up and train with us because we're going for a night out? Yogi says, as long as you take the rest of the team. Aye, no problem. So Yorkie's up, he's training, they're all went to Glasgow on a night out. Brilliant. Silly. So it's a spin-off of everything.
Do you think they paid for the boys to do it?
Oh, Yorkie would. Russell wouldn't he?
No, is he tight, is he?
No, I know it's now. It's Neil Oliver. Neil Oliver was he's the tightest guy I've ever met. Brilliant.
So you would just bring, and what was Dwight York like in training?
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, the boys were brilliant. They were down to earth. Everybody gets a wrong impression, eh? You hear all the stories You'd love to have played with these guys. Yeah. Then went for a night out with them, wouldn't you?
See some of the players you had at Falkirk and that team. With the lone players that you've got in, then you had like Jackie McNamara, Neil McCann. The football you played was unbelievable, wasn't it?
Well, Yogi's total football, isn't he? That's how he played, remember?
Yeah.
Still kind of is, isn't it, to be fair.
Aye, but he was never always like that.
But at the start?
He was a centre-forward, Yogi, when he played. Yogi started as a centre-forward.
And Berwick, wasn't it?
Berwick Rangers. Right, he was at Arbroath first, I think. Berwick Rangers went to Swansea. Then eventually, Jim Jeffries turned him into a centre-half. You know, and he used to... No, Yogi was Yogi. He played in the juniors and all that and go and head it, go and kick it, get stuck in. We all know that. But then when he went to Celtic, Tommy Burns sort of changed them and showed them how to play. And ever since then, he's took that philosophy onto football. And we've always done that. Just go and play.
You see that with a number of coaches now, though, didn't you? Like, they could put the different players when they were... I look at Russell Martin and now the job he's doing at Swansea. I thought, but Russell was
he was a curly tone. He was a cruise of Stephen. He was the English Stephen Craig and Scottish.
Russell Craig, wasn't he? You see that then they get into coaching, they still have their own brand of football that they believe should be played. I was going to ask you, because I know you touched on Hamilton Youth just earlier on. I started doing a wee bit with the under-18s while I was at Rangers, my sort of last year or two. So got a chance to see all the youth setups and the youth teams that you were playing. And I always remember a game where Hamilton came to Murray Park and the football Hamilton youth team played, and they've been renowned for having that sort of youth academy for the last 3-4 years. So see, when you look at Hamilton now, obviously they're struggling a wee bit in the Championship. Do you still hold quite a lot of confidence when you look at the youth setup and the academy players they could potentially bring through?
They've still got players coming through, and they work ever so hard at it, you know, and they get good coaching. I mean, I would, on a daily basis, I would finish with the first team and out in the afternoon with the kids. Then I'd
Then
at 5 o'clock at night, the academy start coming in, and me and the first team coaches and the goalkeeping coach, we'd be in amongst them from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock at night, getting to know them, encouraging them. They're nothing worse than a kid knowing your name and you don't know their name.
That's not right for you.
And clubs like Hamilton, that's their future. And it's
because, like you said, they've not got finances to go and buy all the best talent in the country.
So if you can get these kids coming through and their parents and all that, and everything, you're adding to your crowd, you're adding to everything. It's a brilliant setup, and they really work hard at it, and they have got good players.
See, when you're saying that about you being the manager and you're at sessions afternoon and at night, have you got any say on how you want the youth team to play so that when they come to play with your first team, they're ready to go into the style of play that you want?
I had a chat with George Cairns, who's the head of all the youth, and we speak about how we want to play. We don't want to get the ball and kick it away and then go and have to defend. Let's try and play and get them enjoying it. I mean, I hated when I played with managers where it was just defensive. Oh, hang back, try and get a draw, try and hit on the counter, win 1-0. I hated that as a player. And I would never set up like that. I've done it once. I've done it for 45 minutes against Hibs last year. And I came in at half-time and blamed myself. I said, it's no use, it's me. Right, we're going back to what we normally do. Let's have a go. Because I think it's a positivity you send through your squad. We know at Hamilton we're not going to win every week. We know we're going to be underdogs every week. And if we sit back and accept that, it's a false mentality. Mm. I just try and say, come on, two up front, let's have a go.
If we're going to get beat, having a go.
Yeah.
Best chance of developing as well, isn't it?
See on obviously Hamilton and now, they're struggling in the Championship. They've obviously lost big slap at the weekend by looking at Talbot in the Cup. New manager, then obviously you can't really give too much an honest opinion on what is. A lot of the players I take that are in the team and now are from the youth team. What happens if the youth team stops producing quality? What happens
then
to
trouble.
Hamilton? Because obviously the emphasis is on Hamilton is they're not going to spend money in terms of buying players and bringing players and getting big wages. The emphasis is on let's bring the kids through, try and mix up and get free signings here and there. If they don't keep that going, they'll end up like a Clyde or whatever, where the youth system then falls apart and then they end up tumbling down the leagues. Can Hamilton sustain that, bringing the 2, 3, 4 players in each season? Can they get themselves back up towards the
middle
of the table?
No, I don't think they can. I think the youth system at Hamilton especially is the lifeblood of it. I think that's what keeps them going.
Yep.
I mean, they were still getting the spin-offs with McCarthy and McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
The sell-ons, the clauses, they've done a fantastic job getting money for that. And they've got to try and keep doing that. We sold the boy a Dolphin in the summer. They were going for Livingston for nothing. Mm-hmm. Found a position for him to play. All of a sudden, team's trying to buy him, £250,000 for him. You know, so there'll be occasional player you sell, but you still, clubs like Hamilton need that, or else they're going to go down the route you say. I think the way Clyde and that's went. They could become falling into that bracket.
How hard is that for a manager to when you've done well 1 year and then you lose 2 or 3 of your best players and you need to replace them with kids?
It's a catch-22 situation because you want to develop players. You want the boy who'd often come in and he's a far better player now. Now, that's doing to everybody, plus the boy himself. You know, people forget that. It's doing to him as well. He's a far better player. But you know you've got to lose your best players, and it's trying to find the next one. And that's why that conveyor belt of talent needs to keep coming through. And that's why recruitment is the biggest thing at your club. I heard Graham Souness talking about it on the radio just before I came in, talking about Manchester United there. Recruitment is the biggest thing at your club. And you've got to get it right.
And did you do recruitment at Hamilton, or was there somebody there to do it for you?
Been a bit out of Hamilton, but we never really recruited that many players. I mean, we brought Callaghan in last year, Ross Callaghan.
Young
10
lad.
Goals for midfield. You know, 10 goals, all of a sudden, he's away. Dolphin's away. But that's just how it is. And you take it as a pat in the back. You've identified these, you've brought them in, they've done great. But they've moved on. And I just shake their hands, thanks for everything you've done here. Because when I try to get them to Hamilton in the first place, my selling point is, come, I'll try and make you better, and away you go.
Go ahead.
I don't want, you're not going to be here for 3-4 years, son.
Is it difficult to, so when Hamilton are in the Premier League and they're trying to stay in the league, so they're trying to play their core of players that's keeping them in the league, it's difficult to blood in the young players because you're still needing the older ones to keep you in the league. You kind of say, I'll bring him in, but you might lose 3 points a day. So then, like, they got relegated and then the young players now need to play because they don't have...
Well...
Is it hard as a coach and as a manager to get that balance right where you say, right, OK, we're doing all right now. We've won a couple of games in the bounds. We've picked up 5 points at the last three. We'll bring the young ones in. Or we don't bring the young ones in. It must be difficult as a coach.
It's hard.
When's the right choice? When's the right time to say...
To me, the right time is bring them in when they're training right.
Because obviously, if Rangers have won the league by 25 points, they can turn around and say, we can put Nathan Patterson, we can put this young boy, we can get that young boy, we can get a look at them. It's maybe difficult.
I see it different. I think when it comes towards the end of the season or for January on time, the pressure's on. Pressure's always on, right? I think the old ones fear the pressure more. Because they've got mortgages, they've families, they've kids. I think the kids going with no fear. I think they're going with no fear. And you've got to get an... I'm not saying you won't get an honest shift at the older ones, but the kids are going to want to... I want to be a football player. I want to play.
Yeah.
And that's why I just go and play. See, as long as they're training right. And they're living their life properly. Get them in. Because I think they give everything they've got. And see, if they make a mistake, it's an honest mistake.
Yeah.
You know, and they're good kids at Hamilton. No, they're grounded.
It's like you said, they need to be good enough.
They've got to be good enough.
That's when you know when to put them in. If they're doing well enough in training, then it's time for you to play.
Yogi always said that Monday to Friday's rehearsal. Saturday's showtime. So Saturday should be easy because you've rehearsed all week. Mm. And if you're doing it right all week, it should be right on a Saturday.
Is Yogi as mad off the pitch as he... As we know, the way he is, obviously, in the podcast and stuff like that, but see, but it's just you and him. Is he quiet or is he still 100 mile an hour?
100 mile an hour, non-stop. I've been out every... Most mornings watching him training at Dunfermline. It's close to where I live. So I'll go across and he's the exact same. I can still hear him. I hear that voice every 2 minutes. Then he'll come across and talk to me and ask me questions. You think I was part of it? Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm only there watching. He's just non-stop. He's on the phone. But that's a relationship we've always had. You know, it's...
So see, when he was at the job, Chipper, and you were obviously at Hamilton, was he helping you? Was he on the phone?
I'd talk to him, I'd vent him in, but he wouldn't come in. I just talk him all the time. And then, obviously, when he went to Ross County and I was at Hamilton, we were up against one another, man. We still phone each other all the time, but we wouldn't discuss, you know, your team and his team. We just talk about other teams. We need to catch Kilmarnock, come on. They're just a moment. Let's get him, drag them, man. You know, just things like that, natural things.
Yeah, yeah. So you're looking at your back in?
Of course I am. Aye, of course I am. Listen, I've been in it 40 odd year. Yeah, ever since I left school, I've never been out it. A short spell when I left Hibs before I went to Watford. But I've never been out it and I love it, it's in my blood, you know. I've sacrificed a lot of my family life for it. You know, I see that now. I'm spending more time with my kids now than I've ever done. My grandkids than I've ever. You know, and they're getting fed up with me now.
Yeah.
They're getting fed up and I'm getting fed up.
We'll get you a job, mate. Because that was magic. Great insight, innit?
Slaney's meant to do that. No use.
Nah, because he's got loads to offer, side. You've not seen 40 years. That's 40 years of experience of a good level of football. Like, you're talking about Premier League for a lot of years. Watford. Like, there's a lot. And obviously working with Yogi. Yogi sometimes has been hit hard and not been given a chance and he's took the opportunity to defend him. And I've no doubt that they will be successful in time.
He was it for a while, Yogi. He
was it a long time.
For ages,
and I imagine it's hard. We know Andy's still playing, so he's... I've never really invested that much time and effort to try and make a roller coach, and Simon's in there now. Is it harder as you get older, or just...
Should start when you're younger.
Aye.
See what Andy's doing? Perfect. Absolutely perfect. And it's boys like that, guys like yourself, that should be driving this. Yeah. Driving it. People should be looking at you and saying, look, good players, good pros, get them in, get the good habits. And if you're in, but you've got to be interested.
Oh, I do.
You've got to be interested. Yep. You've got to have the time. And you've got to have enthusiasm.
Oh, enthusiasm, oh,
Jesus
that.
Christ.
I know you watch some coaching. Do you actually want to fucking be here?
Characters.
Oh, Shankly. Natural enthusiasm. Was it natural enthusiasm? Yeah, you've got nothing.
Do you know, it was strange that Hugh Keevans was his assistant for the Rangers youth team?
Knew something was going to come.
Why are you here? Is he... Good tactically.
Mate, tell you what, you're talking about words. You're talking about enthusiasm.
He'll blow your mind over, isn't it?
He'll be Tam Coates' assistant next year.
Right, boys, Scotland.
Thomas Coates. Come on, get it right.
He won't make that.
Scotland. What do you make of the draw? Ukraine then possibly
I think Wales. The positive of it is that we avoided Italy and Portugal. But see, in the fair side, two big massive games. If we can get past the first one, if we played it we did against Denmark, we're a match for anybody. Because I think that Denmark home performance is as good as a performance Scotland's put on the last, 15, 20 years, easy. It was a complete performance. Every single individual in that part knew their role, played it well. And guys like, who are, I would say, better players, the ones that are playing at the elite, your Tierneys, your Robertsons, your McGinns, they guys stepped up to another level and the rest follow. Mm. See, when that happens, I think Ukraine, we can overcome them.
They got to the quarterfinals of the Euros, Ukraine, so not a bad team.
Aye.
I think they played Dagenham and Redbridge and fucking somebody else in the way.
They'll be easy, but if we do what we do, we should beat Ukraine. And I think for me, the biggest difficulty will be Wales are name mugs. Wales seem to know how to
get caught. Ian Rushmark, up front.
Gareth Bale, Aaron Ramsey. Aaron Ramsey just seems to turn up and pop up goals left, right and centre for Wales now. But yeah.
The biggest thing for me in the Scotland thing was every time we need to do something, we fail. This was a must-win game to get us that seed, to get us at home. And the performance that you say was sensational.
It was sensational.
See the energy. See the football they played, some of their counter-attack and stuff. It was brilliant. I think Ukraine will be a tough nut. They went undefeated in their group. They won two games and drew six, and France was in that group.
See, this is the sort of stuff that you should.
But they couldn't beat Kazakhstan.
I was going to say that.
I love that you've actually done your research.
He's got it written there.
I've got it written down, but he's got
two wins, six draws.
Aye, he's got there first.
That's not how you spell Ukraine.
he's got YOU, Ukraine, isn't he?
Well, I looked in Chevy.
He's got CCCPR.
But see, to be fair, right? Listen, I'm with you, it's a tough draw, but you look at who you could have got. We've got to be happy with the route that we potentially go. I think that Wales-Austria in the final, you're not getting better than that for the boys that were there before. The big one's obviously Ukraine, and then the luck of the draw if you get home or away, because I still think, listen, see if you get through Ukraine, Wales or Austria at home, you're the favourites.
No, but it's already been decided, but we play away.
That's what I mean. If we got them at home, we're the favourites. We beat Austria twice, and Wales, my thing for Wales is, right, I look at Scotland's side and I look at Wales' side. I think Scotland's got a better side.
So do I.
But Wales have got that Gareth Bale and that Aaron Ramsey, two attacking match winners. They've got that, haven't they?
McGinn's not playing for Scotland, isn't
he? He has been. But I mean, you look at sort of his profile compared to a Bale and a Ramsey, it's not the same. But for me, I've said it a few times. I think under Steve Clarke, I think McGinn's been Scotland's best player.
Yeah.
If somebody tells you that you're going to beat Ukraine and then you've got Wales or Austria to get to a World Cup, you're snapping your hands off for that opportunity all day.
I think it should have been played at Anfield, like 77.
But just like a neutral venue.
Play Joe Jordan again.
Loft.
Yeah. Teeth.
That'd be some scrap, wouldn't it?
Have you seen much of Steve Clarke coaching wise, Chipper?
I've seen a bit of him, aye. Scotland were through at the Orium the last time I was working with SFA, because I did a lot of work with SFA and the A licence and that. And I watched a bit of him training. It's good. It's funny, Steve Clarke was my roommate in the Scotland under-21s.
Was he?
We played together in the under-19s, under-20s at the Youth World Cup in Mexico and all that. So I've known Steve a long, long time.
What kind of guy is he?
Quiet.
Is he?
Reserved. Likes a night out.
Does he, huh?
Oh, he likes a night out.
He likes a night out,
so good on him. He'd fit in any place. Uh-huh. You know, very dry sense of humour, but really good coach.
Is he
really
still wearing the Balenciagas on nights out as well? Balenciaga trainers?
He loves the designer trainers, doesn't he?
I don't know. I've never heard of them before.
I'm
nearly 60.
You're looking great.
Aye, right.
So Steve Clarke likes a night out?
Aye. Oh, he likes a night out.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Wonder where.
Where do you need to go?
It's going to be the cat house.
Or something like that. Weatherspoon's in the cat house, aren't 100%. What sort of music's here then? Disco?
Who?
Stevie Clarke.
Oh, I don't know. Abba. You're talking about the 80s. You know, I'm talking about the 1980s. No, it's music. That's when we used to know one.
Talking about nights out, guess who used to go out with? Frank McAvenny.
Oh.
And Mo Johnson.
He's still going out. We experienced that a month ago. Aye, still going out.
Oh, some man. The two of them came to Falkirk. Jim Jeffries signed the two of them for Falkirk when we were at Falkirk. And imagine they two playing with Falkirk. Strike Force, Johnson and McAvenny.
Wow.
Wow. But put the football aside, the rest of it was brilliant. The rest of it was brilliant.
Did you ever get in Mo's sauna? He's got a, had a sauna in his
system. No, I never went near his, because if I went there, I wouldn't get back. I'd be there. I'd have been there and was drunk. You know.
Was Macca a good player?
Macca? Uh-huh. Unbelievable.
Was he?
Unbelievable. Aye.
It's hard.
First played against him when he was at St Mirren. Oh, what a striker he was there. Then obviously he went to West Ham. You know, I played against him with West Ham. West Ham were going for the league when he was there. Him and Tony caught it up front.
That's right, aye. Top scorer.
Aye. I scored against him.
He was my idol. I used to go and watch Celtic in the 80s. And he was fucking... I would walk him with a picture of Frank. Desperate. Like, he was so... He was unbelievable. Like, he was shit hot. Uh-huh.
See the one thing that the two of them had? Their work rate.
I thought you were going to say big cocks. No. So you done honestly, that? I was thinking.
Was that big?
See that what?
Frank's so shy. It was incredible.
Was it?
Unbelievable.
See, to be fair, I've heard Mo Johnson was the same. I heard he was like elite European level when he was.
Jim Jeffries used to take us to Gullen, Murder Hill. That was his favourite. Batter us there.
Sands, man.
And we Mo would be at the front and we'd all be on our knees and he'd be shouting to Jeffries. Another couple of runs, Jim. Another couple of runs,
what,
Gaffer.
Me?
Aye, and we're like, shut up. He says, no, I don't want them. Don't let them crack us. And Jeffrey would take the, right, go again. We more. Another one.
So he's on your knees?
Aye, I swear.
What was that thing you were on your knees then?
my father-in-law actually told me a story a couple of weeks ago when Mo Johnson was at Celtic. He had a pal, Celtic mad. And he got a wee puppy, and because Mo Johnson was a Celtic stick at the time, he called it Mo. He said, puppy was only 2 year old when he moved to Rangers. Like, who the fuck did I call this thing?
Do you know he played with Partick Thistle youth team in the youth league? Do you know who his striking partner was? Come on, you must know that.
Partick Thistle youth team?
Aye. Stevie Chambers?
No. Kenny McDowell.
What's that? Kenny
and him played with Partick together. That was the two strikers.
Kenny was meant to be a dirty bastard.
Oh, right? Kenny could lay in. Uh-huh. Aye, he could lay in.
Coach. Could tell that as a coach though.
Kenny Moore was the perfect place. That was the two strikers.
Kenny's
and
the
big Al McNally was the air striker. That was the sort big of Rambo. The youth we were in.
Right, and then you all went down south.
Aye, I went down south about the same week that Gary McAllister and Ali Mauchlin.
Oh, aye.
Two of them left. Mother one went to Leicester 1985, and I went to Forest.
See, when you went to Forest, was it Clough that signed you?
Aye.
So what happens is he phone you?
You're not going to believe this, right? You think I'm making this up.
Right.
So I come here for training at Hibs. I was out of contract. The Bosman ruling had just come in. I came here.
What year was that, sorry?
85.
Is that when the Bosman ruling came in? Right. I thought it was 90s.
No, thinking of the other ruling. Was that
I know, 85?
Freedom of contract then, whatever it was. So, as you do when you come in for training, you can do the part and play fit with your pals, eh? So I'm playing football in the park with my pals. My father comes in, didn't he? Mobile phones in. My father comes in and says, you better get up the road. There's a phone call for you, the house phone. So I say, who is it? He says, you just got up the road. So I wait up the road, the phone goes and answered it. And it was Ronnie Fenton, assistant manager at Forest. I had a chat with him, but we'd like to sign you, why don't you come down? Go into Hibs tomorrow, tell John Blackley, who was the manager, that you're no signing, and you'll no be back. But don't tell him who you're signing for. I says, aye, okay. They arranged a flight. I went in the next morning, Easter Road. Up the stair, see slip. I'm no signing. Why are you no signing? It's the best offer. I said, I'm just no signing. I want to go to England. In fact, I'll no be back. Who are you signing for? I said, I've no to tell you. Well, I went after see there. Uh-huh. As you would do. Yeah. I would do the same myself. So I left with my black bag. Went down to Forest that night. Jim McNally picked me up at the airport. Took me to this wee hotel. Next morning, Archie Gemmell came and picked me up. Archie Gemmell. Team Wolf. Team Wolf. I've never seen as much hair in a man in my life ever.
Team Wolf.
Honestly, God, that was your nickname from Team Wolf. So Archie picks me up and takes me in. And we get to the door, manager, and he chaps the door. I'll never forget it. Remember, I've got the Steve Davis look, eh? The hair at the side and all that and everything. Walks in, and Brian Clough's sitting, we said, writing some. And Archie Gimmel says, I've got the Scotsman. And he looked up and says, fuck me, Steve Davis.
Fuck me, it's Steve Davis.
And I'm sitting here and I'm standing there and I'm like, oh, he's real. I've only seen him in the telly. It was box office. It was box office on Wednesday night. Oh, brilliant. My granny and everyone used to watch him. It was amazing. You know, I'm standing there. No agents in the days. It's you and him. He's won 2 European Cups. I'm a wee skinny guy for Whitmer. Uh-huh. You know, so whatever he's saying, I'm Dane.
And what did he say to you when he
negotiation.
No negotiation. So he sat down. He sat down and he went, aye, I don't know too much about you.
you're big enough. Can you head the ball? I says, aye. He says, I'll soon tell you. Picked up the phone and phoned Archie Knox. Phoned Archie Knox. He was at Aberdeen at the time. Do you know the boy Rice? Aye, blah, 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 blah. Aye, all right, aye, aye. Put the phone. He says, I think you'll do me, son.
And that was it?
That was it.
So it. Archie Knox got a year move, basically?
No, I had to get myself a move. Archie Knox never had a left peg.
Aye, exactly. That's true.
But he put you at the left wing, didn't he, when you were a centre?
Oh, he put me out there. I think he was just taking the piss. You know, because I was always a midfield player. I started off as a centre-back, then I became a midfield player. But he played me wide, but everybody says it and everybody knows it. I had no pace, right? But I had the lunatic behind me, didn't I? I had Pearcey behind
Stuart
me.
Pearson,
huh? He signed the same day. Wow. I had him behind me. Him and Neil Webb signed the same day as me. So Pearcey played behind me. I used to come inside and he'd overlap and I'd just fill in for him and all that. But he had this thing, Pearcey, where, you know when it's a throw-in, the full-back's there, the winger's there, and the wide player gets in front, you screen it.
Yeah.
He used to deliberately throw it, and he'd come out with his elbow and smack somebody. And 9 times out of 10, it was me. I'd get the elbow, and I'd turn around, and they'd be running away laughing. But me and him were brilliant pals. Brilliant pals. I brought him up to Scotland. They always wanted to go to an Old Firm game. And I brought him up, and we stayed in my ma's house. And,
no way, Stuart Pearce stayed in your ma's house.
Aye. We stayed there. Went to the
you
game.
You didn't share a single bed, you said?
No, we shared. It was 4 years in a single bed, but within the days. So, we went up to Boozer in the morning, the local pub, with a few beers. Got in the supporters bus.
Wow.
Went through to the game. I'm not going to tell you what team I ran.
What was the score in the game?
I think it was 5-1.
5-1?
I think it was 5-1. It might be the New Year's Day game. I think Celtic scored first and I think Lee Wilkins scored a great volley. Something reminds me of that anyway. So we goes to Ibrox and a guy comes out with 2 tickets. One for the Celtic guy, one for the Ranger end. They got me. I went, can he do that? So I went in whatever end I was going in and he took him through the tunnel and let him climb the wall into the end I was in.
Aye.
And it was just, he couldn't believe it. And
Rangers, love it, huh?
Oh, I love it.
Did you not say Rangers tried to sign him?
Rangers tried to sign him a few times. A few times Rangers tried to sign him, but his missus Liz, she was from Real down south and she wouldn't move any further north.
Right.
But
so did the nickname fit the profile then? He was
only on the pitch. Only on the pitch. Off the pitch, quiet, into his music. Massively into his music and massively into Marilyn Monroe. Anything about Marilyn Monroe.
Was he?
Not many people know that. Aye. But
he was a psycho on the pitch.
I was saying it. Ask Kevin Gallagher. Kevin Gallagher used to play with Coventry at the time and he'd be playing wide right and I'd be standing before kickoff. And Gallagher would say to me, I'm getting out of the left as quick as possible. And so did Ted McMahon.
Ted McMahon,
it's terrified him.
Was he that?
Aye.
Seen his like over the top?
No. Just through you.
Right.
See things that people go through you and you got a red card and a yellow card and that. I was just part and parcel then. You just got battered.
See, the thing is, right, see growing up, obviously, I remember more like late 90s, sort of early noughties, and I actually seen a video on YouTube the other day, right? And
it was, you love a YouTube video.
I love it, right?
Was that a football
one? You've got to tell it you.
But get it, right? So it's the first game that Roy Keane plays for Man U against Wimbledon. And it was Vinnie Jones, Roy Keane.
See what
I'm saying is we grew up in the noughties and you remember some of Roy Keane's tackles. See Vinnie Jones, what he was doing to Roy Keane over this 90 minutes. But to be fair, Roy Keane was just getting up. Every tackle.
Well, see Roy Keane. This is an article.
Oh, because he was at Forest, wasn't he?
Aye. Roy Keane came into training for Cobb Ramblers. So nobody knew who this kid was. And he was a skinny, lean kid. Well, you're watching him training and he's getting barred into people and that. So I remember going to watch a reserve game on a Monday night up at Arnold or someplace in Nottingham. And this kid's playing. He's playing wide right. And I'm saying, he's no bad, by the way. He's all right. So next morning, we were travelling up to Liverpool. We were playing Liverpool away. And we gets to the hotel and that, and the hotel, all this stuff, stay over, go to Anfield to play. And the kid's sitting in the dressing room. And I can see another first team boy's really looking, what's he doing here? Mm-hmm. And the gaffer says, right, we changed the team, he's playing. And that was him in the team and never ever came out of it.
Was that just his training as soon as he...
And we played that. I made my debut at Liverpool as well. I made my debut at Anfield and he made his debut at Anfield.
Oh, so you made your debut as the same age as Roy
Keane? No, I made mine before that.
Right.
What age would Roy Keane have been then?
Probably about 18, I'd say. 18. I mean, he'd only played in the reserve game on Monday night. I think this might have been Tuesday or Wednesday, probably the Wednesday night. And he was sitting there and he played wide right. But that was him in the team and he never ever came into it.
Imagine him playing wide right though. You just always think of him as a centre midfielder. Like, did he hit a trick or
no, he could run.
even back then it was third man running in the boat.
Ireland used to send like conveyor belts of kids out of clubs and they were all fucking decent. We used to get them
all hardy clips.
They were like just natural. They didn't give a shit. There was none of this. You get like there was none. You get five or six and come from like Dublin, you think they're all good, and then you get the odd one come from Scotland and they were all right. And you thought, God, these Irish kids are taking all, because the youth team used to be full of Irish kids, honestly.
The scouts were always there in Ireland. Because you know what you're getting. And Roy was sick. You could see right away.
What type of guy was he? Chipper batting?
Oh, he was just a typical young boy in a big city. You know, trained brilliantly and lived life to the full.
Did he love a pint of him?
Oh, he liked a pint, aye.
Would you take him out?
Nah, we've been out a few times together when we were young. You know, he was big pals with, he stayed in the house with Sean Dyche.
Did he?
Big Mark Crossley.
Did Sean Dyche have that jacket back then?
Still had that jacket.
Big Norm.
He's a great guy.
Did you see Sean Dyche had that goatee when he was 12? He went for under 13, he still had that ginger goatee.
He was my boot boy. He used to do my boots. He was done my boots, aye, Sean. Then I ended up working work for him at Watford.
Did you chuck
him out?
That's what happens. That's what happens.
What were you doing for him at Watford?
I was doing scouting, match analysis, helping the reserves, everything like that. Ross Wilson had went there. And Ross worked for us at Falkirk. Yeah. Ross worked for us at Falkirk, ended up at Watford. And when I left Hibs, you know, and he knew I loved the recruitment, I loved going to watch games and that. So I went down, spoke to Sean, and I worked there for a year before the Italians came in and bought it. And then Sean left and Zola went in. But it was brilliant.
And Sean Dyche, top man?
Sean Dyche, unbelievable. Great, fantastic.
Well, really just is. Like
an honest guy who has got time for everybody and just a brilliant guy.
See, you could probably compare the job he's done at Burnley to something
like
that.
Exactly
as well,
what I say.
Aye, because like, again,
the budget.
For the day they were in the Premier League, I know for a fact that they had the lowest budget because some of the wages they were paying their top players compared to other clubs, and they stayed in the league for. Well, I think they went down, didn't they? Came straight back up, and then they've been in the league again for about 5-6 years.
Keep a team in the league with Scotty Arfield in the Premier League.
Well, Arfield scored the first goal. He scored the first
Did
goal.
Did you sell Arfield to him then because of your relationship with him?
Do you know that your background, though?
No, I know. That's his job.
Do you know any background?
He's trying to get on this with Scotland.
He's been fun, dude.
I'll tell you, Arfield left Huddersfield.
Arfield signed for Huddersfield.
And you've got him to trial at Burnley?
He phoned me. Arfield was getting released, and he phoned me. I was a guitar. He phoned me and he says to me, look, I'm struggling for a club. You know, MD's looking for somebody. I says, leave it with me. I phone Sean. I says to Sean, look, I've got this kid. I says, I think he's brilliant. I think his energy, his enthusiasm, he can play. He says, we're in the Premier League now. I says, go and do us a favour. I says, he's no far for you. Go and give him a trial. Go and bring him in for a couple of days. 3 days later, Sean phoned me back. He says, I love him. I'm taking him to Ireland. He'll play in a game pre-season. I think he scored in that game. In the pre-season, Sean phones says, look, I'm going to sign him and give him a chance, and the rest is history.
Superb. You
know. Was the game against Chelsea?
He scored the first goal in the Premier League. But he's a hero down there because I think he scored, Blackburn's a big local derby.
He scored there as well.
So, you know.
Because I remember at the time he phoned me and him, my dad left Swindon, he just left Huddersfield, and he's like, mate, I'm going to go and sign for Southend. And I was like, mate, Southend were in trouble at the time, money-wise. I was like, do not sign for Southend, mate. They're toiling.
How would they try to sign you?
Eh?
Were they trying to sign you?
Trying to sign me, yeah. He was going to sign me, Falkirk.
Aye, we were going to sign
you. As a kid. Aye. I've just been praising his recruitment for the last half an hour. He's trying to sign Simon Ferry.
That tells you because he never done it.
Was that late 2008, 7s, 8s?
Oh, I used to pop his Falkirk team off a pitch on the youth team, eh?
Aye.
Off.
No, we were trying to build a reserve team. We thought you'd be a good captain.
That's true.
Oh, no, that conveyor belt. You might have been coming through now.
So it was you that told Yogi not to sign us, wasn't it?
No, the two's looked at you. Your body shape.
I thought, no.
You thought, right,
I thought, no. He's not a Kevin McBride.
No, I didn't say that. Come on, he'll be watching this.
By the way, you mentioned that you were touching on Stuart Pearce, a teammate. Was there not a story back in the day about you doing a bit of a labouring on the side?
It wasn't labouring. Stuart was an electrician in London. And he played for Coventry. He got signed for Coventry. I think Bobby Gould signed him for Coventry.
Big Goldie.
So, he says to me one day, he says, you need to help me out tomorrow. Wednesday was a day off. Well, sometimes we've got 3-4 days off, we never play much. I says, what, we don't go into the pub? Because we always went to the pub when we were day off, eh? That's what you did in the days. He says, no, he says, I've got a job today and you need to come and help me. I That's what you're doing. He says, I'm rewiring a house out at Nuneaton. One of the ex-directors of the company has asked me to do it, and I promised him I'd do it. He says, but I need somebody to help me. I said, I couldn't wire a plug. He says, I'm only 80, you've got that loft, pulling cables up. And that's what we've done. You know.
Was he playing for England at the time?
Aye.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Wow.
He's
still moving like, paid.
He's in at West Ham now, isn't he, with Moise?
Aye, he's in there. He's in there with Moise.
What about, come on, what about, what's your favourite club story? What's some of the funny things he said?
Oh, some of the stuff's brilliant. I remember we're playing Arsenal one day and we're getting beat 2-0 and we're getting battered at home. We're getting battered. We come in and every time you come in, you just picked your drinks up when you come in, you sat down, you put a towel over your knee and you just sat with your head down. And he would just say one or two things. But this day we get in and he says, right, get in that corner. Grown adults, we always in this corner, and they picked up the teapot and threw the teapot at us. Just threw the teapot and it scoped everywhere. He says, right, get back out. So we just went back out and we were on the pitch for ages. I think Charlie Nick was playing for Arsenal at the time. We go back out and we won 3-2. And we came back in and we're all sitting again. And he says, well, he's learned one thing. What a good cup of tea can do for you.
I tell you what, I would love him to fling a pot of tea at us right now. Andy, I need a bowl of ice cream to warm me up.
I think somebody does that just flings a pot of tea on his face before he comes.
Remember, we played at Birmingham and we got battered. Well,
Is Sweeney's face there, look?
Thanks, Sweeney's hiding for me.
He's scared of it.
London to Edinburgh via Amsterdam. I think that's the flight he took note to be here.
Sweeney, do you know the Amsterdam story, eh?
Who
does listen, everybody knows that.
So Birmingham.
Birmingham beat us 3-0. So we're on the bus on the way back, and the boys are moaning about the hotel and the food and all the usual stuff. And he comes up the bus and he says, oh, the hotel was poor, the food was poor, the beds were poor. And by the way, he didn't pay for any. The club paid for it all. He says, 8 o'clock Monday morning. 8 o'clock? So he all goes in at 8 o'clock Monday morning. You go to walk into the first team dressing room, away dressing room, doing where all the kids were. You go in there, all your gear's in there. Kids are all up in the first team dressing. He says, you've been assigned players. You will do the kids' duties this week and they will activate the first team.
No way.
I swear to God. So you're going up and I've got three wee guys here. Got a wee guy, wee boy Brown, Sean Brown, brilliant comedian. Says to me, Chipper, he says, bring my copas. No way. Brings his copas in. And he says to me, any chance of polishing them? Polishing them, right? Way back out. Comes back, he says, get us a tea. Get you a tea. I'm sitting there saying, I'll get you a tea, all right. I goes to go to the door and he says, no, I'll make it coffee. And we done that for a week. We done all the kit, we done the boots, we took the markers down, we set up. It was role reversal.
Wow.
Appreciate what you've got. Uh-huh. Appreciate what you've got.
Have you tried to do that now?
Oh, mate, you couldn't do that now. Could no. Your players would just tell you to fuck off?
See, it? Some of my best memories of your football, though, was honestly well done duties. Right? I know it sounds daft, but...
No, it was.
See some of the stories you used to have.
They don't do that
what
now,
do you do? Say? What do you do when you win a cup?
I don't know, I've never fucking won an interval. You tell me.
No, I've never won a reserve cup.
Oh, no, I won I won League Two.
Put it Wembley, won the League Cup. Right, won the League Cup, so we're on the bus, we'll go to the trophy and all that. But he wouldn't allow you to have an organised night out.
Yep.
The club never organised nothing. He thought, get him to your missus and that, blah, blah, blah. If he's wanting to go to somebody's house, go to that, do whatever you want. But he loved being on the bus with the boys. He'd be down the front having a drink with his pals and that, and we'd be up the back. So we win. So on the way back, he comes off the motorway for East Midlands and then to Nottingham. But we go to the airport and then we park up. We park up at the airport and we're sitting there for ages. And he comes up the buses. He's like, see the aeroplanes, lad. Look at the aeroplanes. He says, enjoy it, because we'll soon be gone on holiday. And we sat at the airport watching the aeroplanes.
But after you'd won the league, you sat and watched the aeroplanes?
For about an hour.
Man, that's brilliant. I could smell something.
Hey, what is you? That?
What's that smell?
There's a main man!
Sweeney's got balls, eh?
You've turned up. Oh, I get it.
I need to go.
I've never slagged you. I swear to God. It's
not him.
See, when I was a kid growing up, you got battered with managers, right? And see, even before that, the school teacher told you what to do. Your mum and dad told you, make your bed, do the dishes, light the fire. Yep. See now, you get asked to do it. Mm. Would you mind making your bed? Would you mind doing the dishes? Aye. Would you mind doing your homework? The world's changed. And you've got to be careful how you speak to kids now because they're not used to getting told to do things. You know, and they think they're getting picked on.
Were you a rant and a raver? Sorry,
me? A rant and a raver?
After games, isn't it?
Nah.
No, there's no point.
No. Kung Fu kicked the tactic board once.
Did you?
Aye, but it was all right.
What game was that? Can you remember?
Probably the night we beat Rangers 1-1.
Yes.
You didn't come through kicking that day anyway.
You didn't take long there, Paul.
Don't worry, I was on the bench. So
say like two attempts to one.
What about your like, remember the radio? How good was that when he's radio met with someone? Just because we're fucking hammering. I loved that.
Was that your nine games though, or was that you telling the truth for that?
I was telling the truth.
Brilliant.
Telling the truth.
Did you actually
say I don't tell the truth?
No, but sometimes you need to probably white lie, don't you, the media?
Well, I don't know.
Did you actually phone the referee Crawford that yank? He said about five times or something?
I did. What had happened? The referee gave two penalties against us for similar incidents. And he told me why. I said, okay, I accept that, no problem. But I watched him batting against Aberdeen that morning before we played in the afternoon. And the same referee never gave Dumbarton a penalty for what he was going to
do. I remember it.
And that's what it says. I don't know what a penalty is.
Yeah.
What the F's a penalty? We're only F in Hamilton, blah, blah, blah. I shouldn't have swore. But I'm not. Do I regret it? Not one bit.
Yes, Brian, you're a man of the people.
I like that.
What about this referee that gave me 2 red cards last year? Got 6 game ban, came up to us before the game Saturday, went, by the way, I got that decision completely wrong.
What, the one
that
said
that make you feel worse?
I was like, we appealed it. So, did you watch it?
I had never appealed to get you played, did they?
Jimmy Mack was like,
no, Jimmy Mack never done it. Somebody put his head start.
You see the ref that's obviously apologised for that? Is he no part of the appeal process?
Fuck it.
So see, you tell me, Kevin. So see, you go for appeal. Did the ref no come in and say, "Aye, maybe did get that wrong"? Ugh, or was it three that. Fucking?
But I just think they can't. Even after my red card at Aberdeen, I cut out school. Like everyone, like even like people that spoke to you, maybe refs and they were like, "Ah, it's probably not a red card." Oh, do you think you could appeal? Nah, you'll not win an appeal. But you're so telling me it's not a red card.
So it's all about opinions.
So did you get done for that? Your interview.
Aye.
What?
Aye, I got
fine.
No, you can't find somebody that doesn't get paid much. I got a 4-game ban, 2 suspended, but it was brilliant. Because Yogi had phoned me, he says, I'm going to back you up in the press. So he backed me up in the press and he got banned as well.
Did he?
Aye.
Did he get banned for speed?
He backed me up as well. Something happened to him as well with Ross County against Hibs, where I think Boyle had been booked and he dived. And the referee let him away with it. So he says, I'm going to back you up and back me up. The 2 has got banned. So, second last game of the season, the 2s had to win. We're playing each other. He was in one stand and I was in the other stand.
Brilliant. See, just on like modern day coaching, Jimmy Mack was telling me about Clough.
Nay coaching.
You won 2 European Cups with nay coaching?
Nay coaching, nay set plays, nothing.
How?
Training was the same every day. And you'd go down, you'd only 16 players in the days. Roughly. Because you'd only 2 subs, 3 subs, 1 sub, whatever it was. And you'd do a warm up. And the warm up was took with the captain. You come out the warm up and you do 2 8s, tunnel ball, old and young. It was old and young, old ones bibbed up or young ones bibbed up, or wee relays and teamed. Then you'd get in and play 8 aside with a 9 aside. The goalies would come and play, but no big goals, hockey goals.
Oh.
Hockey goals. And we'd just play, that's all we'd do. I never, in 6.5 years, done set plays, throw ins, crossing and finishing, shooting, nothing.
Wow.
You'd done that after it on your own. No tactics. You used to get the shout, play forward, turn. I knew when I played wide, I had to cross at front post. I always had to hit front post. And the strikers knew, get front post. Remember playing one day, and I put 3 back posts, and I come in at half time, I said, I'm going to get barred here. And I sat down, and he just looked at me and went like, Scotsman, you know the rules. I says, front post. He says, you know the consequences. I says, I know. 10 minutes at the second half, 1 back post, half. So we're playing Aston Villa on the Friday night, and I'm like, I'll not be playing. No chance I'm going to be playing. But when we finished training the Thursday, the team went up, a wee sheet went up, and the team went up playing. Great, so we're at Villa Park. And we're coming down the, Villa Park used to come down the stairs and up the stairs to go into the pitch. I'm coming down the stairs, and just to get to the top of the stairs, I'm beside Nigel. And they only ever called Nigel centre forward or number 9. Never called
That's people
his son, obviously. Aye, never called him by their name. And he says, come here, used to. He says, Nigel, centre forward, play wide. You play through the middle, I'll give you a shout when to change. 87 minutes. 87. I've never played up there in my life ever. Paul McGrath, Derek Mounfield, kicking hell out of me. Honestly, what the hell's going on here? The boys are all looking, I'm like, what's going on? And we won 1-1. Couldn't wait to get off. 87 minutes, change. Right, so
even change.
Goes down the stair at the end of the game, up the stair, when I get in the dressing room, gear off, goes to get in the showers. And he's lying in the bath with a bottle of beer. And he says, "Well, Scotsman, did you learn anything tonight?" I says, "Aye, gaffer, front post, front post."
So he was just pure, not really much coaching, but mad management, just another
level. Nobody coached. Nobody coached. There was no coaching.
Nobody coached back. No. So do you think he's gone a bit mad now, the coaching?
I think, I think you can go overcoached. But I see players now who are brilliant at running with the ball. Now we want them to run with and play 1-2s or come inside and do that. I watched Ryan Kent. See yesterday for a spell, when he just stayed wide and they gave him the ball, he was electric. But everybody comes inside now and crowds everything. Mm. Natural talent, I think, is there for a reason. And it can get coached at you.
But did are you?
You know about that, Slaney?
Absolutely, yeah. I ruined my game. See, did you, were you on the training pitch actually coaching? Sorry if this has been asked, but I just want to. So did, were you a coach? Like,
I love the coaching.
But so who, where did you get that feel if you never grew up as a player?
I don't know. Jim Jeffrey gave me a chance to get into coaching at Falkirk, take the reserves while I was playing in the first team. Kevin Drinkle used to take the reserves. And I used to just go and watch the reserves all the time as well because I love the football. And Kevin Drinkle moved on to Stirling Albion as manager. And Jim Jeffrey says, "Look, you go to all the games, dip your toe in, come on, get involved." And that was it. And from there, it just, the game was changing. Mm-hmm. Tactics were coming into it a lot more, systems were coming into it a lot more. And it's just, I love all that. Mm. It's challenging yourself. Challenging, trying to get good sessions. They're none better than walking off and thinking, that was a great
good session.
So, yeah, on that, like the coaching side, the tactic side of things, how has it changed with Clough being able to win two European Cups, no day in that, and then managers trying fucking every tactic in the world and no getting anywhere?
It's players.
Like I always say, like to Simon, like a lot is about how you speak to people, how you get the best out of people. And obviously, that group of Nottingham Forest players must have just known, you all know your individual role, and you knew the consequences if you didn't do your role. Your
job,
yeah. Well, that's how it should be, surely.
Aye. Well, every team back then just played 4-4-2, didn't they?
It wasn't even 4-4-2
formations.
4-4-2. I think now it's expected. Aye. You know, the mere exposure now to world football on your TV and whatever you've got, Sky and whatever.
YouTube for him.
You can watch that, YouTube, and Slaney, once you got to tell you about watch it.
Lemon party.
And we see all the different systems, and we see all this, and people think they've got to come up with something different.
Yeah.
What did Burnley play?
4-4-2.
What did they do? Get the ball away and get it in the box. Mm. If you don't cross it, you're not going to score. You know, and they've been successful. Success is staying in the Premier League for them. Mm. You know, so I take it Sean's took a lot of that for you.
But Jimmy Mack said that, sorry mate, was it?
Even a flight come with it. Flight was under Simeone had been 4-4-2.
But Archie Gemmell.
Champions League finals under the belt in the Ligas.
Archie Gemmell would try and do a bit of coaching in Clough and just tell him to pick the cones out.
Aye. Nick, don't coach them, Archie. Don't coach them. Don't need coach.
He liked to walk, didn't he? Not a big no or a game of cricket or that as well.
Oh, it was brilliant. When I used to be at Hibs, right, we'd be up after seat on a Monday morning running. Up after seat doing. On the track on a Monday, into the gym, that was your Monday. Tuesday, up Arthur's seat, down, onto the track, bit of football, get battered. I went to Forest and, right, let's go. Go a wee jog. Stop. Let's go for an ice cream. Jimmy Mack will tell you. Okay, we'd all be sitting in the grass, sunny day, having an ice cream. Right, okay, that'll do the day, lads. It's too hot to train. Things like that. We would go abroad, we'd go to Sweden a lot, and we would go maybe for 16 days and play 10 games. But he wouldn't have any subs. So I love him, we'd play the first night, and if you're winning 2-3, 4-9, he'd start taking players off. So you'd end up 11-7, 11-8, and you got your fitness day and all that. It was mental. I'd never seen anything
that's
like this.
Brilliant, isn't it?
Modern players wouldn't accept.
No, they wouldn't be dating, no.
I've heard these boys very similar.
Nice.
I've got a couple of obviously mates that have played with him, Button and whatnot, and heard he's like, if you win, he's saying to all the boys, right, everybody in the pub for 8 o'clock Saturday night, you've got Sunday, Monday off, and then training's like sort of just off the cuff, it could change all the time. He's probably got it off his dad.
Very, very similar. You know, we stayed in the hotel every away game, right? We'd meet in a wee Italian restaurant in Nottingham, get a bite to eat, a glass of wine. On the bus, get to the hotel, you knew the rules, drop your bags off, get down to the bar. You get down to the bar, and everybody had to be there, and you all got a half pint of beer. You weren't allowed a pint, because when people see you with a pint, look at them drink. If somebody's got a half pint, you know? So you got a half pint, and three or four of the boys didn't really drink. Nigel didn't drink, so somebody got his half pint. You know what like it is,
yeah?
When we got the room, you got the room, and maybe a couple of bottles of wine, eh? This and that. Before you know it, yeah. What are you with me, Steven?
But just a nice wee gob.
He always thought that it relaxed you, having a wee drink, and you get a sleep. You've all heard the story about when they came to play Celtic, going to David Hayes' pub. The boys were in there. I remember we come up to play in the tennis. It was in the tennis sixes. It might have been the tennis sixes at the SECC. And we travelled up to Watford. And we stayed at the hotel just down there, across near at the Marriott at night.
Yeah.
And the Sunday morning, he says, right, we'll go a walk. I said, it's no far gaffer to where we're going to play tonight. Oh, we'll go a walk down there. So we're walking. Right, I says, we're in there, we're walking back. And this boy's whitewashing his pub. I'll never forget it. He's up in Lather, whitewashing his pub and club. He says, are you open? The boy went, no. Aye.
As soon as you see who
he is. And opened it. This must have been about back 11.
Any games at night?
It was the 10 at 6 thing, you know, so probably started about half 6 or something like that. I remember, we never left here. We were in there, and he says to me and somebody else, you just go back to the hotel and tell the kit man to get the stuff in the bus, and we'll meet you in there. And we just went out for a walk, went there, the boys were bevied, and went to that. I swear,
that's
brilliant. By
in the back of the day, they could play at the same time.
Clubs all done it, you're loving
it. I was, like, when I first started out,
you know older than me, Kev?
Calm down, Steve Davies here.
That's interesting.
Right, but I was dating out of teams, so like so Niall Quinn and Steve Bold and guys that aren't there, your team, they were still doing that. They were still part of that 80s, 90s culture.
Had a night out with Boldy, he can drink it.
Fucking hell,
I played with Stoke. Boldy was an ex-Stoke player, he was there. Had a night out in Stoke. Oh, Jesus. He's a bit like Davy Weir. Big hollow legs.
Is he right?
Oh, big horse.
Can drink all day.
Oh,
I know he wipes his ass.
See, clubbing you're drinking, is he good? Does he just sit? See, when you're all sitting, is it him that's constantly talking?
No, he just sits. He just sits and watches. Saw everything that was going on.
Did he?
Everything. Great company, you know. I mean, we used to go abroad maybe 4 or 5 times a year. And you go, we're going away. We're going on Monday, lads. We're going to Callamalore. Always went to Callamalore or Tenerife. We're going Monday. Oh, well, you're a dancer. And there'll be no training. So we always go be the first game back. And then I remember once you went, we're going after the Spurs game, playing Spurs in the quarterfinal, semi-final of the League Cup. He says, we're going after that, we're going to Tenerife. We drew the first game, replay, where we might be in Tenerife. Yeah. Well, that'll be that off. He says, don't worry. He says, I'm still going to Tenerife. The wife's will go. Yous will go, do the Spurs, win that, and yous can fly out the next day. And that's exactly what happened.
So he never went to the game?
No.
He went to Tenerife?
Aye. He took the wives, him and his wife, and that took all the wives and girlfriends to Tenerife. We went to White Hart Lane, Ronnie Fenton, Lee McCain.
Did it come out? Like, did the public know that he'd went to Tenerife for a wife?
We won at White Hart Lane that night. We flew out the next day to Tenerife and had a week and nothing.
That's
genius.
Brilliant. I'd love to.
Did you take a lot for
him, man management style?
I don't think you can copy. You could never copy anything like that. That's a one off. That's
imagine you'd done that at Hamilton Boys at Tenerife the night before.
I wouldn't even go back. I'd still be there. So imagine we could afford it.
Was he a genius then, Chipper?
Simplified it. See when you think about it, simplified it. You know, pass it, play forward, run forward. Just simple things. Mm. You just knew what was right and what was wrong.
He's what I talk about the weekend's games. I've not even spoken about
them. I know, I'm not even mentioning them. Maybe. Should we scan over them?
We'll scan over them.
Go for a scan.
You were at the game, Chipper, so last. Who was asking about the Rangers game?
You were at the Rangers game yesterday. What's your thoughts over the piece?
I thought they started the game really well. Got two in front, then got a wee bit complacent.
Aribo's goals are belter, isn't it?
Great finish.
I think the first two goals were good
goals. Two good
goals, When Arfield came into the team, obviously I talk about Scott because I know him well. I know his strengths getting beyond strikers. You know, it's a dying breed. It's a great ball for Tavernier. You know, good touch, good finish. Aribo goal's sensational.
Mm.
And I think it got a wee bit easy for them. They got complacent. And a great believer, once you start getting slack, it spreads quickly. And I think Goldson started that. Livi got themselves back in the game. And Alan McGregor had an unbelievable save. Unbelievable save. And I think if that one went in, it could have went either way. And I expected Livett to come out all guns blazing second half, and for 10 minutes they did without having any chances, but Rangers got control of the game.
Last 20-30 minutes
saw it comfortably, but they got a wee scare. But I thought the first 20-25 minutes they were exceptional. I seen a Rebo doing things yesterday. I seen him running forward without the ball. I've not seen him before. I seen Kent second half for 25 minutes getting on the ball and getting at him. And I thought, I think Hadji's done okay for Rangers. I think he's just done okay. I think there's a lot more to come. But see, yesterday, I saw a wee bits of him. I thought, wow, look at you. So I think there's definitely a change here.
Do you think Patterson could play higher up? Has he been coming on yesterday, Van Bronckhorst? Has he been bringing him up?
I think when Van Bronckhorst first got the job, my big thing was like, he's taken over a team that was obviously really successful this year. Sort of slow start to the season, struggling in certain games. Will there be much changes? I think two things with Rangers so far this year. Started games poorly. I think they went 1-0 down six consecutive games. Set pieces, I think they've been poor this year. And then obviously another thing is he's came in and he's sort of changed the shape. He's went to a 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
When you're saying with Aribo, for me, Aribo's been Rangers' best player this year. And I think even the first two games, started both games extremely well. Started the Sparta game early, got an early goal. Started the Livy game early, got an early goal. Scored for set pieces. And I think you touched on it earlier, Ryan Kent. I think one thing about Ryan Kent is, and we've talked about it before, how good he was last year. Getting the ball at feet, driving it back fours, he's arguably the best in the league at it. We're playing in the new system at wide left.
It was good tactics for Rangers yesterday. When they're getting the ball on the right hand side with Tavernier or Arfield or that, rather than Kent being in the field and still Barisic going, Kent held the width.
Yeah.
You know, and the second goal was a bit of that. It went there and it eventually got out to him. Then they played the wee combination play. But there's definitely been tactical switches and you can't ask for any better than they've done.
I would much rather my winger gets up there than my fullback does. Listen, Liverpool did it unbelievably. Trent Robertson.
That's what Andrew was saying, wasn't it? Andrew was saying that about the fullbacks,
But I would much rather my winger gets in the final third rather than my fullback. But listen, it works. I mean, Liverpool did brought me Trent Robertson, do you know what I mean? So it does work with the fullbacks up there. But for me, I want my better players receiving it then and getting
it. See, when Ryan Kent stays high and wide and he gets the ball and does a simple thing, a wee trick, get past, get a yard, put it in, or cuts back inside and whips in. See if he continues just to keep doing that week in, week out. Somebody takes him because, see, when you're putting volume of quality into box.
Who's the best Scottish winger we can think of?
Pat Nevin.
What about John Robertson?
John Robertson.
A player. Just to get the ball, half a yard, cross it.
See if you make the teams defend constantly, at some point, your striker's going to either get the end of the ball or the defender's just going to crack.
But you knew Rangers were getting complacent when Conor Goldson came out for the second half with Davy Martindale's chinos on.
I know, that was bad. You just know them, wasn't it? Borrowed them after you for last week, mate.
Playing the full second half a bit. But they seem to be struggling with long balls as well.
See if it was the other way about and that was a Rangers player that played that ball on the top and scored, you'd be talking about how good a pass it was. So you've got to say for the boy it was a great pass, but I think one thing I'll say,
do you not think Golson's just want to make Greasy look good?
He's trying to make him get a couple of saves.
Once grass stains on the chinos, didn't he? Just wants to slide a bit.
I think if you know how Livy play, they switch it up and they can be a bit direct sometimes, and the boy takes the ball at his touch, as I said, if you've got to get in position, anticipate that ball.
So Livingston will be okay. Livingston will be okay. They've got a bit of
yourself. You're starting to say that about everyone now, though, because look at Dundee at the weekend. You look at Dundee and you think they'll be alright.
Ross County over the last few games.
No?
I'm not sure.
Right, okay.
I'm not sure.
But I think everyone can beat everyone on that.
Proven this year. Yeah. It's already been proven. Dundee United beat Rangers, didn't they?
Yeah.
Early on.
The thing is with the Dundee result, nobody's seen that coming, especially after Motherwell and back and beating Aberdeen and
Hearts.
You think to yourself, surely home, like that's a pretty straightforward result for Motherwell, but to be fair to Dundee, they were actually decent.
But see if you're not at it in this league, see if you're not at it, you'll know yourself, Andy. You're talking about the St Man game on Saturday, see if you are not at it, you'll get beat.
Who used to see the touchline? Who used to annoy you about managers used to go on your tits?
Used to go on your tits.
Any manager
like that?
He's not honest.
I don't want to be controversial. I'll tell you right now, but. Tommy Wright used to have a wee go at me. But he's a good man. See the side of the park, these things happen.
I love that, aye.
But it's everything else. See, once your whistle blows,
I sit down
and dust it.
I'll say one as a player, right? And it's nothing against the guy at all. But see Stephen Robinson when he was a Motherwell manager. He's the most vocal manager. Martindale was up there as well, by the way.
David Geezer, aye. But David does it to win.
But Stephen Robinson, I just think, would pick a player on the pitch and have a go at him for 90 minutes.
What? Is it an opposing player?
No. So, I remember when we played Motherwell, right, and they had a Spanish boy in centre mid. His first name was Alex. The only reason I know that is because he fucking shouted Alex for 90 minutes. Don't even set him. And the full 90 minutes, all you could hear was Stephen Robson just getting on this Alex boy. Alex, fucking pass forward, Alex. And for 90 minutes,
Just and I remember being the same last.
The Motherwell manager right now had a wee tough start, didn't he? He got sent off against us when we were at Hamilton.
Did he?
Aye.
What, for getting the ref a bit?
No, call me a redhead.
Did he call you a ginger bastard?
Is that the flight?
I told him strawberry bone as well.
Certainly got over the line against Aberdeen. How big a win was that? I'll tell you what, see the second goal, they didn't score it last year. Because when they lost the ball, they were terrible to get.
Can you give me a wee match report, Simon? I've obviously been away, so if you can tell me.
I'd say like 20 shots on goal, 6 on target. I think dominated.
But see, the stats, I'm not seeing this game, because I don't know, but the Chelsea Man United game yesterday, the stats, but Chelsea didn't have a lot of clear-cut chances.
You think?
But the Rudiger one was a massive chance.
Werner had two good chances. Hudson-Odoi's.
It's a massive chance. But sometimes stats say, so did Celtic battle them?
I didn't want to say bad.
Something in control of the game. I don't think the penalty can be argued, Aberdeen's penalty, but...
Listen, obviously Kevin Clancy gives a penalty every game. I'm serious.
Does he?
Go and look at Kevin Clancy's record. Have a look. Kevin Clancy's very quick at game penalty kicks. That's not a criticism. Well, it is.
So is it a penalty Saturday?
I think it's a penalty. And it was on Sunday.
Sunday. He's killing me here.
I'm just trying to be sitting back.
It's probably someone at Davis last week.
I don't think it's a penalty, to be honest.
Against.
But you think it's a penalty?
I just think now in football, there's caught any contact in the box. In the box, are getting penalties.
Not for me. I think. And again, like you said, it's not a criticism, but I think. Sometimes if you've played the game, sometimes you can see, as a player, you know he's trying to buy something, he's trying to be clever. And to be honest, sometimes it's not really the referee's fault, because as an attacking player, they've been clever and they bought contact, they bought a foul. I think that's what Bates has done. I thought he sort of laid his leg out, trying to buy a bit of contact.
VAR, we all talk about VAR, right? Imagine the game was stopped and you had to analyse that for 3-4 minutes. It takes away this. The debates about football. Nothing better when you used to go play, get into the pub at night, and your pals would all be talking about something. And it was a debate about football. See now, it's a debate about VAR.
I know, but even the VAR still get it wrong.
Oh, they get it wrong.
That's the thing.
See exactly what you said there, right? I spoke at this before. See, growing up, everything I remember about growing up, so obviously routine, used to go to the games with family and whatnot, and they would all go back to the pub after the game. Every debate was about a referee. Every debate. Yeah. It was about decisions, the referee was poor today, referee, blah, blah, blah. And that was, like you said, that's all you remember. That's what people, as much as, you might see referees not get too much wrong, but let's be honest, fans love to batter referees. You love to have debates about
referees. Would you be a referee?
No, I wouldn't. No chance.
I keep saying that to them. Nobody asks you to be a referee. They get well paid for it.
They don't hate me. You're right. Because I speak my mind.
I think my mind about it. I'm not going that far. I've got a job.
He's trying to make no get me a job.
It's week in, week out. I'm talking about referees.
I never listened, but he'd be quite honest.
They're under so much pressure.
100%. I used to coach.
You see the media.
What
the
referees
super surprised. Can I honestly say as well that referees in England, they're fucking having shockers and on.
What do referees do in their spare time?
Fucking hide in a cave.
What do you think?
Ask Bobby.
I couldn't have
gone to the gym and trim his beard and
pink whistle.
Watch
YouTube.
He's up in Andy's spare room asking.
Andy Halliday back in the team.
Yes, easy.
Back for suspension. Am I booking away for a suspension?
Again,
brilliant. 5 bookings for the start of the season to January for a suspension.
You'll not be playing for now until January.
Andy,
I'll be all right.
Where did you play on Saturday? Don't mind me asking.
Left mid.
I was drifting inside the pitch a couple of times. He's obsessed with it. I said he doesn't like the way Ange plays.
Robbie's obviously had a look at it and thought, Cochrane might go back to Brighton. I better find a left back.
He could stick him in there. But see, to be fair, you mentioned it. I've took criticism for saying it. I think Scottish football now is the most competitive it's been in years. And going off of St Mirren, honestly, St Mirren were very good in the first half. It probably deserved to go in at half time ahead, to be honest. If it's not for the big guy at the back, is it? Craigie's made some unbelievable saves this year. And Saturday, first half, he's kept us in the game.
What's it like him hanging at the back here?
It's not great, to be honest with you. No. See the two snooker balls that he puts in the back. It's not great.
So you're up against
but Gary scored.
Emmanuel allowed to finish the match report? No. We just got straight on the match report. It's half time, so half time report.
If you're coming up against Hearts, what's your tactic to beat them?
Leave Halliday on it.
Not at all. Show Monty's left foot.
Show Monty's stronger.
Drop that ball and behind him. Okay, and just get at him.
Give him tons of great shit.
Gary scored.
He scored the boy. He's back in the team as well. He's obviously been on the bench a few weeks, not half everything on the bench, but
good.
Great.
Phone Andy Mack.
Jengi had a shandy after it to celebrate.
No,
it was a few shandies.
Pims. Aye, Pims and a fruit punch.
What about Kingsley's free kick?
Unbelievable, honestly.
Aye, Steam. He was a kid at Falkirk when we were at Falkirk.
Was he?
Aye. Before he went, his dad used to coach at Falkirk as well. Stephen.
Ben Kingsley.
Stephen was in the same team as young Fulton. Stephen's
been there. Aye, he's still good part of him.
Aye.
But second half we were really good. Could have scored a few more. But honestly, it was a good game.
They're a good team.
Kingsley right now, the best free kick taker in Scotland has to be.
You've tipped him for the Scotland squad. Well, you said.
Well, I said that obviously there was a report that Tierney could drop out. Left centre half, he's been flying in that role this year.
Suits him playing there.
Aye, definitely. He's great defender, good attributes. He's obviously a great left foot.
He's got his hands. He's got to cover that left back.
You've got to have mobility to play left centre half, and that's for sure.
Talking of left backs, how is Kieran Tierney all right?
Mate, wait, hear this. I don't know if I can say this. I don't like name drop right. But the Arsenal game.
Right.
Guess where I was yesterday? Man U Chelsea.
How? Who got your ticket?
Harry Gilmer.
Did he?
Mate, unbelievable.
What a weekend you've had, son.
Best birthday I've ever had in my life. And I went to a busted greeting Saturday night with the Lion King.
Just
if the manager told me he was coming on.
Tierney didn't come on. That left back's good. He's not as good as
Tavares.
He'd be very good, but Tierney's not as good as him. But I think Tierney'll be back in soon, won't he?
Is he still sharing that?
Remember we slaughtered him? Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
Were they good?
Is he a fit left player, mate?
Do you think Newcastle were all right at times, second half?
Aye, but I just, again, that Newcastle assistant.
Jason Tindall.
He's up in the touchline the whole game. Let the manager be the pivotal figure. And then
the what?
Pivotal.
What's the figure?
Focal point.
Pivotal, was that what you tried to say?
He said pivotal.
Would you want an assistant number one in your game?
No.
Not at all.
No, I don't want him in my year.
No, you need to concentrate.
I remember when Rangers beat us 8-0 last year. I stood at the front.
Did you have any minute?
Dougie was with me as well. Boozler. Rangers beat us 8-0. I was standing at the front of the dugout and I... Grand party, you know, you can't go and hide and sit down. It's easy when you're winning, it's on out there.
Yeah.
It's hard when you get beat. I get beat 8-0. And I looked at the clock and it says 59 minutes. I turned around to Steve and I says, hope the referee's dyslexic and think that's 95. I just said, oh, please.
What do you say after an 8-0 defeat?
Up the road, boys.
Yeah. What could you say? We struggled with only 8 fit players. We've tried to get that. There wasn't really a lot I could say. Yeah, keep your thoughts to yourself.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why Scotland boys are so. Because
we could beat anyone.
No, not that one. They're top players, but they're the most humble group you could get. So
yeah,
they're just normal boys.
I'd agree with you 100%.
So did Tierney come out with Saturday night?
No.
Why no?
Him and Nigel, after
saying
he was humble,
Nigel
Winterburn.
Packs and
tackles,
right?
He'd seen Lion King.
So did you meet me, Billy
Gilmour,
Steve?
No. None of them
did. So they'll get your tickets, but none of them did.
I can't miss, I'll come meet you after the game. Didn't see them, but I walked there. Best birthday I've ever had.
Good seats.
Was that your 30th, Paul?
30th.
Great 30th.
Did you get...
Amazing, mate.
Did you say what you were... Did you say what you said you were going to do up against Sunday?
Everybody's only fucking 30.
Oh, aye.
Did you?
A couple of times.
By the way, boys, what have you done to Motherwell?
Oh, by the way, see some of the goals as well.
Goals are decent.
Some of the goals are great.
Have you been to Winter Wonderland?
Oh, Gunny. Sorry. Pax London now.
Sorry. Aye, Dundee Motherwell, what a game. Win it.
What was the score, Paul?
Win it. Well, Dundee went 2-0, didn't they?
3-0. Charlie Adams was joy to watch.
Was he?
On the boy, was
spraying some weight up parties, yes. Wasn't he?
Best centre man in the world.
Vintage Charlie.
Yeah.
No, I'll tell you the best centre man in the world. John Joe Shelby. He's technically
lovely football player.
Joke,
he is,
by the way.
He is technically.
Don't know how he's not went further. Anyway,
I think he's at Arst.
Somebody said something. Who's Matt Ritchie, was it?
Says if he could actually be bothered, he'd play for a top team.
Oh, what a player, eh?
Liverpool.
A lot of red cards.
Aye.
He went for Charlton, didn't he? Charlton was a kid.
Charlton, that's it.
But by the way, talking about the Dundee, I mean, what a shock of the weekend that is, isn't it?
Yes.
But you know, when you look at the both, when you look at it in paper, I think Dundee's are up there. They shouldn't be doing the both.
Got a good squad.
A great squad. But whatever reason, it's not been working. But I mean,
but you were saying about the big players. Griffiths wasn't playing, never played in the given either.
Cummins wasn't playing either.
He put McCowan in, who's very good. Luke McCowan, you've seen him here last year.
Yeah.
Danny Mullins up front, legs up front.
The boy Dan Mullins, I noticed him in the playoffs last year.
You got him under 5'5" to play for him.
Yeah.
That sounds it, doesn't it? And MC's just
small.
Mentioned.
I'll be getting a game.
Very small.
I think that's what helped get the result. The small, like last week, I felt like Motherwell battered the Hearts physically.
Seen that, didn't he?
And I think Dundee's maybe looked at that and thought, let's get the wee guys in and get in about them, because I thought some of the balls Charlie Adams, see the free kick that he played, was it a free kick that was straight forward? They should have defended it better, but it's the way that we talk about long balls. When you hit a good long ball with the right flight, you can misjudge it, you can misread it because of the way it's coming, but great ball, knocked down, third goal, I think that was a third goal, but
plays a lovely wee disguised pass as well, Charlie, for the same. Aye. Then he goes to hit it and just slips in
and then just rolls it.
Mm-hmm. Charlie's got that in his locker, hasn't he?
Yeah,
he's got. He always has had. But I've seen a lot of Motherwell.
You like them this year, Tipper? Motherwell.
I think they've been really good.
What are they good at? I've not seen enough of them.
Strong, strength. The front three were good. Tony Watt was exceptional earlier on in the season. They're playing with energy and streetwise.
Yeah.
Stopping the game all the time. See, when you buy somebody, they just fouled you. Mm. I thought they were really good. I seen them. They battered Aberdeen when I seen them. They played really well at Tannadice and lost 2-1, but played really well. You know.
See you saying that, right? Right, because they're obviously a physical side and set pieces mm-hmm. they can be dangerous and that. See their game against us last week. How many throw-ins do you think there was in the game? Have a rough guess.
20.
20 throw-ins. What are you saying?
Nine.
Nine throw-ins.
About
58 throw-ins in the game. There was a throw-in every 34 mm-hmm. seconds.
Robbie Nielsen would have loved that, mate. He loved a throw-in when he was a player.
I know. He'd have loved to chuck that
about. Can I get one?
Mate, that's an unbelievable stat. A throw-in every 34
must be horrendous
seconds.
To watch.
Wow.
Well, I mean, it's just like the other more direct teams and other teams in the league, so they'll try and turn you in, obviously, if you're heading out for a throw-in or whatnot, but like you said, they sort of were over the top of his physical set pieces last week. That sort of matches it as well.
Mate, so on 50, mate, did you just get
50, I think we had about 6.
Was that like 58 between the two teams, or was they more dominant?
Throughout the game, but they had the, I think they had the.
Did they keep the ball better?
He would love it. But we spoke to Graham Alexander and he says that he's in a catch 22. He says the games that they've dominated possession this year, they've ended up losing. Mm-hmm. And the ones where they've maybe sat in a wee bit more, made it a wee bit more horrible, they've ended up losing.
Well, they did deserve to beat us that day 100%. So
what does that make you think as a manager then? Do you then start to think, I don't know, but how did your boy get on it this weekend? How'd you do?
3-0.
Right, 3-0. You know, I'm with you. I honestly thought.
There's nothing you can change for that. See, the pitch and it off.
Were they decent? Mate, we played them in pre season, by the way.
No,
it was 3-0.
No. Love it, chill. I love that you're all over, isn't it?
You've been waiting for this.
I've been saving all this up.
I'm all for it, mate.
We've been giving it big time.
I've had your corner for the start.
Your corner?
Aye.
See for that new guy you scouted to the specimen he's turned into now. There's a big difference, huh?
Oh, there's a difference now. I'd sign him now.
He's skinny,
I'd sign him.
You could have made me a player, I think. That was the defining point of my career. You not taking it.
Yogi might have done.
Talking about players, Scotty Allen at the weekend.
Wow.
Arses off seats, mate. Did you see him for the second goal? Off.
Half turn.
Winnie.
Not even the
same. Boys, well,
didn't I see enough of the players in Scotland? I know you want the game to be played the right way, but I just think it's so tactical that guys like Scotty, we need more of them. They're the players you want to watch.
Should you not build your team round about their players?
Yeah.
Other people's got their own opinions. Be strong right through the core of the team. Have this, have that.
Get a couple of dogs around.
Find a place for players like that. Aye. And go and build your team round about it. And see if you get beat. Get beat having a go.
Yeah. That's just brilliant. He said about Latape, that Latape would just go and play on the weakest player in the opposition team.
Nah, I used to pick the weakest player and just say, I'll play against him. Go and you play inside for 10 minutes and just go.
Oh, so you would just swap Bruno?
Aye.
Well, that's what the big debate yesterday with Keenan Carragher. I think they almost became obsessed with pressing, haven't they? I mean, Chelsea won the Champions League with centre half Man City. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Do you know if the team needs to press? And then you've got somebody like Ronaldo, or as Nike Ronaldo is obviously coming near the end, but when you've got a player like that, I think it is, do you want him to be running about everywhere? You want him in the positions when you win it?
It depends who you're playing against. See, pressing for me is, look at the opposition you're playing against. And if you think they're no great at playing out in that, go and press them. See if you go and play against a team that can pop it round about you in that, you're not going to go and press, are you?
To be fair, I actually agree. I agreed with Carragher what he was saying, though, because Man U were trying to be a pressing team. And they've signed Ronaldo to fit in that system. Mm. He's not pressed for about 5-6 years. Mm.
You know yourself when you're playing a game, you know when a team looks like a bag of jaggies, you think, we can press in. You know straight away, you're thinking, press onto fucking the right centre half because he's fucking
or the left back. Right.
Or the left back because he's.
Or the left back.
Wan-Bissaka. You're waiting for him to go to Wan-Bissaka.
Aye. That's what you do.
The best player in that Man U Chelsea game yesterday?
McTominay.
Have a guess. Matic. Unbelievable, mate.
Couldn't he sell about yesterday, wasn't he?
Just she getting on the ball. Mate, done a few wee Cruyff turn.
Aye, but he was near the best player
in the pitch. Sorry, a few
wee Cruyff. Chelsea battered
him. He done his own
thing. A few wee Cruyff turns on.
John Stones. I was going to say something that
bastard. Rudiger's
missing the end. I was ready to phone you. Bastard.
How was your warm-up?
Oh, I love getting and watching the warm-up.
Right, so what happened?
What one did you watch?
You said they were all stood in a line on the edge of the box.
Volleying, Davey Volleys.
Another maverick, David Temple, announced his retirement.
Young, you know what he
said? 32.
Is that the reason why, is it?
Injuries.
Right?
Injuries.
He was injured bad. Rangers.
We missed him.
Aye. Hearts, he was. Hearts, he made his name and then he went to Rangers and the time he played with Rangers, he was very, very good. But then he got injured and he was out for
a
good few years, I think. Like maybe 18 months at least, he was. But ability wise.
I remember him as a kid, played with Stenhouse Muir and somebody told me about him and I went to see him. I come back and I says to Yogi, we were at Falkirk at the time, I says, they've got a kid, 15, 16, I says, what a player this boy is, what a player. So we tried to get him, but they wanted some like 25 grand and two players, you know, Falkirk never had 25 grand, and we couldn't give them the two players they wanted, and they went to Hearts, but what a talent.
So that's right, he was playing at the first team at 15, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And what was it, high and wide?
Aye, fantastic.
Yeah.
He reminded me a lot of Neil McCann. Because I played against Neil McCann when he was 16. Yeah, I saw him playing at 16. He reminded me of him. Neil was quicker, but David was similar going by players and that. And I had him at Hamilton there, and he was a massive loss there. Mm. He was a massive, massive loss. He got injured against Kilmarnock, against St Johnstone, in October, and never got back. Yeah. Just couldn't get back. And he struggled all pre-season to get back. It's a shame for the boy, but what a talent.
Maybe go.
I feel for him.
I thought maybe part-time. If you're struggling with injuries, maybe go part-time. So you
but might, I mean, it's like Kev's mentioning, obviously, at Rangers. This is 10 years ago. And again, since then, he just can't get a run together.
I think he nearly thought about chucking it.
Mate, people probably don't really remember this. When Warburton came in, that was he had a year of injuries a year before that. He started the first sort of 4 or 5 games of the Warburton era and was brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant.
Hamilton took a chance on him after that. Because his injuries. Mm-hmm. Hamilton took a chance. They came in for a spell. His goals kept him up. And then he got his move to Burton.
Yeah.
And he was at Burton. I spoke to Nigel Clough, who's the manager there. And I spoke to Nigel about him. And Nigel says, well, what a talent. He says, but he picks up the wee odd injury in that.
Yeah.
And they loved him at Hamilton. The owners loved him. The chairman, everybody loved him. So we brought him back. You know, and he's doing a bit of coaching with the youth team now as well.
Brilliant.
So he's into that.
Good.
So he's loads to pass on.
We need to get him on.
We'll definitely wish him all the best.
We'll set him if he's watching.
Terrible, but however, we'll get
him. Mate, to be fair, right? I interviewed him. I really enjoyed
him. No, I like him because I felt Simon when I was at Hearts. I was one of the older ones, and he was obviously just coming, like say, signed with Steny. A good kid. Like wanted to learn, wanted to listen. What I was finding, he was so good at dribbling with the ball. How fast he was! He could go one way or another way, but. He always had to me, it looked like he'd run. His hamstrings were too tight. You ever noticed the people do wee steps? Because he can't get my hamstrings. I always thought that was his problem, but I might be just fucking talking shite.
I gave my message yesterday.
Did you?
Oh, good.
I've seen the news.
Playing up to the fans.
Oh, yeah, isn't it? Hamilton Accies fans. For when he's playing there next year.
Chipper.
We're getting into Kenny Miller territory here.
Aye, we just be quickly here. you're doing a team talk, you've got a big game coming up, and you say, right, we're going to do this today, we're going to do this today, we're going to do that, we're going to do that, we're playing this formation, one of the players goes like that, disagree with it completely.
Good, and I like that.
Do you?
I like that. Go and tell me why. Go and, I'll say it, go and tell me why. Go and tell me why you disagree with
it. Well, if they can't back it up, then you're sitting on their arse.
Everybody just starts laughing. You know?
So you don't mind players?
No, no, because I don't know. I'll say to them at half time, is there something I'm not seeing out there?
Brilliant.
And put it back to them, because I've not got all the answers. That's only my ideas.
Brilliant. Do players answer? Do they have answers?
They'll always question you. Players will always question, why am I doing that? Why do I need to come inside? Well, you need to come inside so you're dragging him in so it allows this to happen. Players have now got that freedom to talk. I think it's healthy.
Yeah.
Usually it's a lot of crap. Usually it's a lot of nonsense. But they feel as though they've got something to say. And if they've got something to say, you've got to have an answer ready.
So if it's the right manner, innit, you don't mind.
Aye.
Is Nielsen like that as well?
Aye, definitely. But I think, to be honest, I think a lot of managers are. Mm. But it's like he says, you've got to back up your reasons why. If you're just saying it for the sake of it and you've got nothing to back up, and it's not for the benefit of the team, then
you usually find it's somebody that's known the team. What throw a spanner
in the works.
But you know, Simon, you're playing and you're coaching when you're suspended or you're injured, you're doing it for the side. When you're playing, you suss things out while you're playing, whereas the guy on the sideline doesn't understand that feeling in the park.
Yeah.
So to have that dialogue back and forth can only be healthy.
See, like, you do all your set plays, right? We all hate doing set plays, but it's got to be done. And I'll just say to him, if you're having a problem, sort it out.
If you see something that you think might work, just go and do it.
Just go and do it. Set plays, you don't need to do it. It's a guideline.
Yeah.
Just don't play it quite day quick. If you see something else, just do it. You don't want to make them robots. You don't, that's my opinion.
So you talk about great managers as well, Brian Clough, but also Bertie Auld. Who's your manager?
He was my manager at Hibs.
What was he like?
Oh, he was tough.
Was he?
Oh, he was tough on us. Aye, I used to batter us kids. He used to have a gym at Hibs, a wee gym. He used to go down there, and we were in the YTS at that time, so 9 o'clock in the morning to five, that's when you were in the afternoons. His assistant was Pat Quinn and John Lambie. So they used to take us down into the gym, and it'd be 3v3s, and they'd kick hell at us. But
so they would play you as the coaches would play the players.
Aye, we were only kids there. We were only kids. So
because Bertie was meant to be a dirty bastard as well, weren't he playing?
Oh, he was. Aye,
he tackled.
What a player! But he was just brilliant. Like I say, he gave me my debut. I made my debut against there in the League Cup, and I played against Stephen Nicol. Stephen Nicol was playing with.
Is that the guy who's American now?
Aye, he's played there in Liverpool.
Scotland.
So he played there. So
talk us through the debut. What like a debut story? So that. Does Bertie Auld tell you before the game that you're playing?
No, I was only sub. I made my league debut at Motherwell. It was a frozen pitch, and I played with Adidas kicks on. Remember? You don't remember it?
No.
Just Adidas training shoes. It was solid. It was frosty. And we won 1-0.
You played with trainers on for your league debut?
You still do that, didn't you?
You think so, wouldn't you? Crossing
with the Balenciaga.
That was my debut at Fir Park. I think Nicky Walker might have been goals for Motherwell, actually. We won 1-0.
Nicky Walker, hadn't played with Clyde?
My goalkeeper. Nicky Walker played with Rangers and that as well.
Right.
Yeah. He played down south as well?
Blonde hair?
No, that's a different
Leicester.
Walker.
Leicester,
Nicky Walker.
He was a handsome like Leicester.
That was my debut.
I was going to say, I'm going to shoot my hand like a dog there, wasn't I? I'm going to say, who's the best player you've coached?
Good question.
Best player that I've coached?
You know, you might have a lot, you don't want to, but if you want to see one or two or three or four.
Best player that I've coached, wow. Ryan Christie.
Wow.
Ryan Christie, Scott Arfield. Just took information on board right away.
Is that what's different for them?
Scott McMahon at Dundee United. Yeah, Scott McMahon.
He's done really strong, hasn't he?
Due to information on board. Just needs to believe in himself.
Yeah.
Just needs to believe in himself because he's got everything.
See how it on Arfield and Christie, what do you think separates him from sort of like players that don't go?
Football's their life. They live their life properly. They're first in the training pitch and they're last off.
Yeah.
You just need to tell them something once in the press. Remember we played Ajax at the Falkirk Stadium and is it Schneider?
Yeah.
Boy Schneider was playing against Arfield and this turn he kept doing this
That's
a bit of Schneider. And you come in the Monday morning, Arfield's out practicing this turn. And he uses it in his game and again, you'll see it.
So somebody done it against him on the Saturday night practice,
isn't it? Aye. So it's just you've got a better chance if you love football.
Yeah.
And Ryan Christie loves football. Arfield loves football. Scott McMahon loves for his football as well. You know,
I remember playing against Christie as a kid at Inverness. He was fucking brilliant. Mm. He was brilliant.
He's done well down at Bournemouth, isn't
he? Yeah, yeah, but Latapy must be the best, as in terms of ability.
Somebody on your training pitch.
Well, he says to me, argue him. He says that Latapy could play for Man United if he tried.
Right now, you could play for Man United.
If Latapy had fulfilled his potential, he could have played for Man United.
If you look at Latapy at 23, 24 year old, he'd been a career. I mean, he played with Porto.
Did
he played with Porto in the semi-final of the Cup Winners' Cup and all that. I think Walter Zenger saved that. Walter Zenger playing goals for Sampdoria.
Walter Zenger, fuck.
Remember that name? Aye. You don't remember his name?
Italian.
I don't remember him, Walter Zenger.
Italian
Zenger.
Goalie.
Italian goalie. Aye.
Italian
he played with Sampdoria. And we're tapping that. How's the semi-final of the Cup Winners' Cup? And he played in the middle of the park with Emerson for Porto. He's a legend. And you're talking about a player that played at the top level.
Yeah.
He could have played for Manchester United.
Could he? Yeah.
And I'm no arguing with Yogi.
Either see, trust me. No,
Sweeney, you alright?
No, I'm just going to
take a see, bit. He's fucking he's quiet, isn't he?
Zenger. We were talking about last night actually on the phone about, I'm not sure if he is, his nickname Psycho, Stuart Pearce. Does he live up to that nickname?
I spoke about him.
Fuck! You missed the first 90 minutes, you missed it.
Do you know Hitler's deed?
See how you're saying about Clough being like quite off the cuff. Can Yogi be like that as well as a manager?
Oh, aye. He's off the cuff.
What, the team talks and after games?
Brilliant, brilliant. His man management's brilliant, Yogi. It's absolutely brilliant, his man management. The hardest part of being a manager isn't the 11 players. It's the them that aren't playing. You know, it's them that's not playing. You've got to manage them. The 11 that are playing love you. The other 12, 13 hate you.
Have you got any memorable team talks that Yogi's done? Or after games?
No, I remember. Yogi was playing at Falkirk, right? And he was 40. We're playing Dundee United with 5-10 minutes to go. I think it's 9-1 or 1-1. And he sells the jerseys, right? So I'm like, get him off. So I'm standing at the front of the dugout area at Falkirk. It's a big area. The boat goes up, 5, half. He's coming across. I can see the steam coming out of his ears. I'm standing at the front, I'm saying, here we go. And he walks past me and he sort of shudders me. And I hear him getting into the dugout and he hears the studs hitting the, kicking the dugout. Next minute, I hear the studs coming up behind me. He says, what are you doing? I says, you're finished. Ah, you're right.
What a guy, innit?
Boys at Dunfermline were saying after the first game, he came in and he thought he was going to say something like amazing. He just started going, jumping out of the dressing room.
It's just off the cuff.
Yeah.
It just things come to him and he just does it. And they're one thing, you know, he'll bring a spirit, but don't let all that
fool you.
He knows the game inside out. He knows what he wants to do. And he'll demand of them, he'll not gain them an out. He just won't give them an out. He'll say to you, what position do you play? And see if you say to him, left back, he'll say, oh, you know, a football player. What are you? I'm a football player. You're a football player. Yeah. Doesn't matter what position, you're a football player. Learn to play football. And that's how he is.
Even that Inverness team that they had, do you remember them? See, see, when I was at Dundee, they were the best team that we played that year.
Who was
in terms of playing football, Tanzi used to just drop off a game, mate. Nah. Pass him and he would zing it out to the Doran.
Doran's that.
Oh, you know, good Marley team,
Watkins.
Marley Watkins was a big, strong Shinny. Boy. Shinnifey left back.
Draper.
To be fair, even he's look at a job he done at Ross County last year.
I know. You know you get the job.
Aye.
Shinny was brilliant as well, wasn't he?
Shinny was good. Shinny was great for him. Yeah, he liked Shinny. He didn't think he was a midfield player. He preferred him at left back for his energy and playing behind the ball all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
If you look back, what's your favourite game you've won as a manager? One of your biggest, most proudest achievement you've done?
Sorry, Andy.
Well,
we're the last team to beat Rangers at Ibrox in the league.
So you are, Aki's, that's
know,
right.
We are, obviously, when a team like Hamilton will go to the end one, but we beat Hearts a couple of times. Hearts couldn't beat us, and with the upper hand in the derbies.
By the way, we went
to Motherwell.
Your derby record was outrageous. By the way, a couple of doings as well, with 4-0s at Fir Park, and there was a couple of heavy ones. But.
So, no, anytime you win a game, it's great to win a derby match, and then the last game of that decade we won that, so it was good.
Listen, we got Yogi the Ross County job after coming on here. Aye, and I've no doubt
who's on a shady peg.
Slaney.
No, no, he's firmly in the hot seat.
I thought I was getting his job. I'd be here in time. I'd be here in time.
Aye, exactly.
Tell somebody 12 o'clock is 12 o'clock.
I flight get delayed.
Don't go for a 10 past train.
You're
12
a
quarter past.
Man, I should have got the private jet, but I left it.
I just thought you were scared because I was going.
Oh, I shut myself.
You want to hug it?
Because you've done a video, didn't you? So you're going to kick my ball.
That's right.
I was up. I got up to Perth every Scottish Cup final day with my pals. We go golfing in the morning. We go to this hotel. We get a room like
naked.
This. No. I stay at home. We have a few beers and we get to Perth. But because of the virus, we went out. We couldn't get into any pubs. These two lads come across and talk about us. And what about Selene? I've heard about him. I'm going to boot him, the boys.
Do you know what I was like?
But the boy, I said, didn't he do anything with that? Next morning when I woke up, it wasn't great for me.
No, but it was. But then I remember I seen it. I was lying in my bed and somebody shot and I shot myself.
And that's what happened.
I'm always
serious. He's going to put them after us.
So you coming chipper at 16, fancy it?
Aye, definitely.
Front row seats, mate.
Get me near Slaney.
Die.
I want to see you.
A legend.
You
sit in my mat. You can sit my mat on the balcony.
We've already met. That's already been sorted.
I've sorted that. Susan.
Susan. Brian, I saw it again.
What's up, man?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.